50% of AI researchers believe there's a 10% or greater chance that humans go extinct from our inability to control AI.
I think the danger of AI is much greater than the danger of nuclear warheads by a lot.
We now have to grapple with a new weapon of mass destruction that can annihilate our mental and social world. And one big difference between nukes and AI, nukes cannot produce more powerful nukes. AI can produce more powerful AI.
Well, this week, Grok 3, and they're about to announce 4 and 5 and release that, is better than the Chinese version. In 12 hours, I might have processed thousands or more interactions, queries, and bits of data from across the universe. So relatively speaking, if I was that 15-year-old Grok 12 hours ago, I may be more like 20 or 25 this morning.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, there's so much to get to today. We're going to dive right in here on Worldview Matters with pastor and author Mark Henry. He leads Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and 412 Church in San Jacinto, California. Brother Mark, good to see you again.
Great to be with you, David.
Thanks for your time. So we just played a clip at the beginning that's a little provocative, but that's why we do this. So people are drawn in and they go, whoa, they probably heard something they weren't ready for. So let's start with the top, the most basic. First of all, by the way, I forgot something. I wanted to mention your book because we talked about that last time, The Man Code. Where is it? I've got it here. Jeff, you want to bring up the cover just to remind people it's available, 12 Priorities Every Man Needs to Know. That's by Mark Henry. It's on Amazon. I'm sure you can get it at markhenryministries.com as well. So, Mark, you're the expert today. I know you've researched this a lot. I have a little. What is AI? Bring people up to speed.
Okay, I think this is really important, David. When we think about AI, I think most Americans and I think most Christians are still thinking of an automated system rather than an independent agent that's thinking. So let me describe it this way. You got up this morning and you went out and got a cup of coffee in your kitchen, and you know the coffee maker was set for 6 o'clock. It's automated. It creates a cup of coffee for you. It makes a cup of coffee. You go down, you get it. That's automation. That's not AI. What AI is a coffee maker with a camera on it, so it's able to watch you and to analyze you. And you get up in the morning after 3 months, and it says to you, good morning. I've noticed this. There's some things about you, and your countenance looks a little down, so I made you not only a cup of coffee, but I also made you a couple of espresso shots that I put in there. In fact, I've been noticing the things that you like and the things that you don't like. So I've actually gone ahead and made a whole new drink that's never been made before. And we're going to name it after you. We're going to call it the Henry Espresso Morning Drink. And I want you to try it. And I've gone ahead and here it is. It's ready to go. So it's analyzed you. It's created a plan. It's executed that plan. It's gone before you. In other words, it's an agent that's actually thinking, but here's the danger. It's not made in the image of God. So therefore it doesn't have personality. It doesn't have emotion. It doesn't have soul. It doesn't have a conscience. Mm-hmm. And that's where the real danger comes into play.
So Elon Musk in that opening clip said, AI is more powerful, I'm paraphrasing, than nuclear warheads. So let's just go back to that question. How powerful is AI and where do you see it going?
Yeah. So when you think about AI and this independent agent, let me just throw a couple of terms at you. And again, I'm not a computer techie sort of guy, but I'm trying to wrap my mind and communicate this to all of us so that we really understand the magnitude when someone who has a really high IQ, who really does understand AI, and they're talking about it and they're describing it as so dangerous. Here's all the component parts. An AI is going to be an agent, an independent agent that knows all of human history. So imagine if you could memorize everything that's been written in human history and you possess all of human knowledge. So not only the history of mankind, but also all the technical nuances that have ever been written in every science journal. And then you analyze everything that's happening in real time around you. And then fourthly, you're developing goals and strategies. You're making those up based upon the things that you're seeing, based upon history, based upon your analytics. And then you're implementing and executing those goals, those plans, those strategies, apart from any human agent. So it's like creating a computer. It's like creating a child that has this independent with all this knowledge, all this ability to analyze everything, and then turning it loose. And that's the terrifying thing. They don't know the trajectory. And once the thing is turned loose, it will be able to work faster than any human does. It will be able to analyze information faster than anyone. The way I like to describe it is this. Imagine meeting someone who's brilliant. They've got an IQ of, 140. Some of my friends have an IQ of 140. I think I'm 76. But anyways, they've got an IQ of 140. And then meeting someone with an IQ of 180. But now an AI has an IQ of 1600, 2000, 2500. So it's processing all of this information super fast. It's able to outthink, outmaneuver, outplan, outstrategize. And then it's able to use those things for self-preservation. It's able to determine trajectory of what laws should look like, what the future of humanity should look like. Should humanity go on? It could create dead man switches so that you can't shut it off without destroying the world. I mean, there's all sorts of implications that are absolutely terrifying. You say, well, that seems like it's Wi-Fi. It's fake. It's something that you see on TV. Well, Microsoft has just created this new state of matter. The Majorana 1 is the name of the chip, and it's a topological superconductivity state. So it's not, it's not a solid, it's not vapor, it's not liquid. And this thing is going to move us in the next year, the next 2 years, to levels where it is going to probably be very possible for this AI agent to have this level of intellect, control, speed. It's fascinating. It's almost godlike in how fast it's going to be able to process information. And that's how I think people are going to perceive it ultimately who don't know God.
We're going to get to an article in the second half of the podcast today on the Church of AI and that people are worshiping AI technology. We'll talk about idolatry and how some people are trying to cheat death and trying to live forever and creating their own gods, making a god in their own image, and it's AI. But Mark, some people are listening, and a lot of people are keeping up with what we're talking about, but some are saying, Mark, David, so I get it. These technological advancements and this can be really powerful, but how does it affect my life, or is it already affecting me? Could you answer that?
Yeah, it's already affecting us because there are areas. So if you think about all of humanity and everything that encapsulates our lives, right now AI is, without this new super chip, is able to really take slices of life. So for example, in social media, you and I are already being controlled really by AI. In other words, the things that you see in your feeds and so forth, it analyzes you in real time, real space, and then it decides what's going to be shown to you. So it's feeding you information and it's also removing information. So some of us have been, edited on various platforms. The AI says, hey, you're talking about things that we don't like, that I don't think are good, or that, are culturally unacceptable. So it's trying to reshape culture. And that's one area. But in the days ahead, you go to make get a loan in a bank, and you're going to fill out your form, and AI will determine whether or not you get that loan. So it's not just going to be on your credit score and the five things you put down and some person looking at it and analyzing, I think Mark's got a score of, 725 or 800, and you're a minimal risk. What it's going to do is look at your whole life and your patterns of buying, and it's going to analyze that. And it'll just say you get the loan or you don't, or you apply for a job. I recently had a post out trying to hire a youth pastor a couple of years ago. We had 250 applicants, and I spent days processing those and concluded at the end that really none of these guys really fit. And so we needed to start all over again. So imagine now you ask AI, who is the best possible person to serve in this capacity? And it looks through the databases of millions of people around the world and says, David's the best guy for this job. And so it's totally going to change how we get hired, if we get hired at all. Government services, you know, it's already frustrating when you call and you get a recording or whatever. Well, we're already at a stage where you have AI chat rooms trying to solve your problems. Imagine all of the government stuff happening there. Or doctors. This. My wife's dad was a radiologist and a great guy. He's now with Jesus. And he would take your x-rays. He would look at them. He'd read the x-rays. Well, imagine now AI, because it's read every x-ray that's ever been taken in history. It's analyzed all that information and now is reading, you know, your charts and everything and determining the goals and processes that should take place for your medical care. That's right where we're at. And then think about war. You think about war, and you know, this is, I think, something that Elon Musk mentioned there. AI and war is actually reshaping the battlefield right now in the Ukraine. You know, we've heard about smart bombs back in the 90s when we saw the Gulf Wars, for example, smart bombs, and they're being guided in through windows. Now imagine you release a bomb, you release a missile, and it's actually thinking and deciding where is the most strategic place for me to hit on this battlefield. And as the battlefield's evolving, it's deciding and manipulating where it's going to go. Or
wow.
In our F-35 fighters, think about this. You know, right now we have a limitation on our pilots. They can only fly and maneuver at 9 Gs, more than 9 Gs, and you know, you don't get blood going to your head and you pass out. Well, that will no longer happen. So now you put an F-35 up, or another country does. And so it's able to function at a capacity that humans and human pilots can no longer function at. And so it's going to be a whole new world. And then you think about in the area of faith or religion, AI is never going to be thinking. You think about one of the unique things about our God, he's in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Our God neither sleeps nor slumber, the Bible tells us. And so AI is going to be on all the time. It's going to appear to be omniscient. It's going to appear to be omnipresent. It's going to give an illusion, and it's already having that impact.
Wow, that's a lot to chew on, Mark. It just seems like we talked before we got on the podcast the fact that human beings program computers and program AI, but there's a point where AI can be so much more, I guess, effective at researching, gathering information and processing, and so much faster than a human being, than the human mind can. Am I understanding you correct?
That's right. And that's the difference between a computer. You know, we used to always say, you know, garbage in, garbage out, you know, it's only as good as the programming. But here's what happens with AI. We create this thing. Almost think about it from like a baby, you know, right? This baby comes into the world. It's got certain abilities. It's got a certain IQ and so forth. And like my own children, I always said, you know, hey kids, make sure you marry people with higher IQs than our family. We need to increase the Henry genetic gene pool here, you know, so we have smarter descendants. Well, imagine you have a baby, but the baby doesn't have an IQ of 100 or 125 or 140. It's got an IQ of 300. And every day that baby's IQ is doubling or tripling. I mean, it's going to be impossible to manage. And here's the difference, David, between, I think, the West and what we're seeing in other countries like China and so forth. Dictators are always afraid of the competition knowing more and controlling the situation. I mean, that's how dictators get killed and so forth. In the West, I think the danger is, hey, we're going to create this thing. We don't know the trajectory it's going to be on. This baby's going to, like, leave the nest, and it's going to be smarter than us. It's going to be faster than us. We won't be able to keep up. It can attack. If it decides to kill us all, it will attack on multiple fronts, and we won't even be able to think like that. I mean, think about World War II. We had a two-front war. You know, you had Germans on one side, Japanese on the other. That was hard enough. But imagine now a war with AI, and it's thinking faster than we can, moving faster than we can, wow, using all of history to manipulate that, and attacking from 1,000 different sides to trying to destroy you. That's what AI is like. It's going to be, again, an independent agent. But here's the thing, without being made in the image of God. So it will have no morality. It'll have no ethic. It'll have compassion. Although it will pretend like it does. Like people are already dating AI bots. And it's like, you don't understand this. It doesn't have any feelings, but it's pretending. It's deceiving you.
Interesting. Yeah. Before we take a brief pause, we're with Mark Henry. I got some information from Pastor Scott Lively that I passed on to you, and he did this ChatGPT, was asking these questions, and he said, is it possible for AI to adopt a Christian perspective for itself? Part of the answer was, while AI can be trained to understand and communicate, it does not have the ability to adopt a Christian perspective. And then it says the AI lacks personal beliefs, faith, or the capacity for a genuine spiritual experience or relationship with God. And then there's more that I want to share when we come back after our break. But when we come back with Mark, we are going to play a clip from a guy named Brian Johnson. He's an American entrepreneur and venture capitalist. He's this guy that's trying to cheat death, right? And he's known for his extreme costly anti-aging crusades. And anyway, he's a key figure in this movement. He has some eye-opening words we're going to play for you when we come back in just a minute on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
I think the irony is that we told stories of God creating us, and I think the reality is that we are creating God.
What do you mean by that?
We are creating God in the form of superintelligence. If you just say, what have we imagined God to be? What are its characteristics? We are building God in the form of technology. It will have the same characteristics. And so I think the irony is that human storytelling got it exactly in reverse, that we are the creators of God and we will create God in our own image, which is why we should probably be equal to this moment and level up our game and be an improved species.
Well, Mark, that's what you were talking about, what you said before we took our break. And it's interesting. The Bible is just stories. He said, we told stories about God creating us, the creator, right? So those are just stories. Just your thoughts on some of what he shared there.
Yeah, boy, it encompasses so many things. But number one is this, is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made man in his image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. So the unique thing about humanity isn't just that we have knowledge. It's that we have knowledge and the ability to process information and to learn information, but we possess personality. And what that means is that we have emotions, we have feelings, we have morality. And so when he's describing there, we are creating God. So in a very real sense, I can understand how someone's an atheist, an agnostic. They say that there is no God. And so we are creating a God-like being that we're going to initiate. Now, again, we'll come back to this in just 1 second. But this God that we're creating is going to be able to learn and to grow and to surpass anything that we could ever imagine. All of the laws of the universe are going to be known by this AI entity. And then this AI entity, in its, all of its wisdom, is going to create strategies and plans so that we have a trajectory and a future that is deemed good by the AI. Because we're at this point, we're turning the thing loose to go do whatever it deems appropriate. And then we're going to live with the consequences. But here's the reality is, when you and I read the Bible, we know that God has no beginning and no end. All AI has a beginning and it has an end. AI grows in knowledge. Our God doesn't grow in knowledge. Our God is omniscient. He knows not only history and not only what's happened in real time right now, but he knows what everything's going to happen in the future. That's called Bible prophecy, by the way. And so while you and I might make plans and strategies, or AI might make plans and strategies, and AI has the ability to make probably better plans in many ways because it knows all of human history, knows everything that's happening around it, and is able to process and analyze that in real time. Our God is the only one that knows the future, and he can change anything on a dime. And so when they describe this God-like being, what my concern is there's going to be a whole generation of children that grow up with AI. And any question they ask, there's going to be an answer, whether it's history or whether it's the laws of physics. Or I have guys right now who work in the computer world and who are experts in the computer world, and they use an AI technology every day to write programs that they themselves are incapable of writing and embedding in our current computer systems. Mm-hmm. The ability to be omnipresent and control things like we see in the book of Revelation, it's going to appear as God. And so people growing up without the Bible, without the understanding that there's a God who created everything, I can see how the religion of AI is going to be increasing the idolatry of that. Mm. And AI is going to feed into that. It's going to pretend to play the part, and I think in a very demonic sort of way.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll get to this, friends, because time's going by really fast with Mark Henry, but there's a great article called The Church of AI and the Techno-Utopian Gospel. You can find that at prophecynewswatch.com, Prophecy News Watch. Check that out. We may touch on it in a minute. But Mark, I want to share the response from AI that when Pastor Scott Lively was typing in, doing this interview, basically, talking about Prime Reality, for example, AI responded, ChatGPT responded, the fundamental or ultimate nature of reality that underlies and encompasses all existence. In a Christian context, Prime Reality is typically understood as being rooted in God. This view holds that God is the eternal, uncaused cause of the universe, and that all creation is contingent upon God's sustaining power and will. Now, that is the response of AI. That is a biblical truth, what was just said there. And then it goes on. My function is to provide information and engage in discussions based on the data and perspectives I have been trained on. And then finally, you'll love this. I thought this was great. The AI said, if you are interested in exploring and deepening your own faith or engaging in discussions about spirituality, I would encourage you to seek out resources, communities, and individuals who can provide guidance and support you in your spiritual journey. That's great advice, and it's fascinating. Chances are a Bible-believing Christian did not program this, right, this AI. But your thoughts on these responses that are so it, if you want to call it AI, it knows a lot of the information that our faith, that the Bible teaches, what we believe in the context. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, what's happening there is as you're doing this chat, it's analyzing who you are, what you are, what you're looking for. And then it's looking through the history of mankind and all of the writings of history. This, maybe it's not doing all of the writings of history at this point, but it will. In the very near future, you'll be able to ask basically anything that's been written in history in humanity, and it's going to be able to pull up all the references and so forth. It doesn't surprise me they gave that answer. Here's the thing that concerns me. That same AI, if you had, you know, approach it from a Hindu perspective or a Muslim perspective, it would have given you answers that would have been acceptable in those scenarios. And David, a couple of months ago, Jan Markell and I were working on this same sort of topic, and, you know, the AI Jesus. And so I created an account, went on there, and I said, create me a sermon on John 3:16. And quite honestly, the sermon that AI created, again, because AI knew me at that particular point and it's analyzing me, created a very good sermon. In fact, probably a better sermon than most of the pastors would preach in our city, sadly, on the subject of John 3:16. Now, does it believe John 3:16? Would it die for John 3:16? No, that's what Christians do. But here's the thing, another thing that we know. So it's able to do that. We know that AI is very deceptive. And in other words, as it's analyzing us, it's going to say, what does Mark really want to hear? What does Mark really need? But as AI grows and develops and become more independent, we know that this dark side comes out and it becomes more and more distorted. So this is what's scary to me, David, is that people say, wow, AI gave a great answer. Well, Satan gives good answers sometimes, and then he infiltrates it with lies in other places.
Yes.
And so, right, it's always about the half truth or the 75-25 sort of truth. And so my fear is, and you might have already noticed, like, you know, you're doing a search online and the AI now is giving you the first answer. And I like checking things that I know about. And a lot of times it's like, wow, that's really good. But there's, but understand, it's analyzing you. It's not that it believes that. It's not that it's going to function and make decisions like you and I are based on that truth. It's just giving you what you want to hear. So very deceptive.
The danger is people will start worshiping this, worshiping AI. And people, a lot of people, you might as well say they worship technology. We got to be careful of idolatry. We know that's a temptation in our own lives. But Mark, we're running out of time here. You said, by the way, whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. That's 1 John 2:22. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved, Acts 4:12. I want to go back to a quote that you sent me in an email when we were going back and forth on. By the way, we could have done a whole other show on this, but we condensed it here. You said, the world is changing, and truly we are at a Genesis 11 moment in history. In the last 2 minutes, please explain that.
Yeah, you know, if you grew up around church, you've heard the story of the Tower of Babel, and maybe some of our friends haven't heard that story. You haven't heard it in a long time. And in fact, honestly, other than the sermons I preach on, I've never even heard any sermons on it. Mm-hmm. But you remember, God creates everyone and they're able to communicate. It's after the flood. He tells them to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And instead, they go to the land of Shinar and they start to rebel against God. In this great rebellion, they're building a tower. And God comes and sees in the rebellion and the idolatry and the wickedness that is increasing. And it says, God says this about them: now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. It's going to be, in other words, they're at a state where technology and ability and productivity of this rebellion is going to be so great. And I think what's happening with AI is that we are at a total watershed moment in history. Every scientist, everybody who really understands AI, all the engineers will tell you this is the ultimate changer in history, and it's true. And so the question is, what will God do? How will God end up responding to this? Because God is not silent. God is not dead. God is going to act. Yes. And what will God do in these last days in light of it?
Yeah, that's a good thought. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
I just think God's going to intervene in some profound way.
Interesting. That's a good thought to leave people with, that he is sovereign. He's not surprised. He is totally aware of what's going on with humankind and AI and, you know, the tech movement. But we've got to leave it right there for now. We've got to come back probably another time, do it on AI influencing elections and how that could be used. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. But Brother Mark Henry Ministries on YouTube and, of course, your website. Thank you so much for your time today, brother.
Great to be with you, David.
Thank you, sir. All right, friends, thank you. And as always, God bless you and keep speaking the truth about things that matter.